Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show
and giving
whose only
all the power to the power
you.
That were only going to bring this to my
And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome and thank you so much for tuning in today. I have a special guest, Lori LeBay. Lori LeBay is a driver of change for Alzheimer's. She helps families, communities, organizations, and businesses maneuver the turmoil of the aging and illness. She has dedicated her life to working with people in transition. Lori has done this by guiding businesses and organizations on how to improve service delivery to enhance relationships with senior consumers and their families. Lori's mission is to shift society's negative perception of aging and illness by getting individuals and businesses to appreciate and embrace the gifts wrapped in every stage of life. She believes by removing the fears, the embarrassment, and the judgment that cripples our relationships, we can embrace our connection with people we love and care for. She was recently featured on Fox News for her cutting-edge work with Alzheimer's disease. Lori LeBay is a speaker, trainer, consultant, spokesperson, author, owner of both Alzheimer's Speaks and Senior Living Trends, and now is a self-proclaimed advocate on steroids for Alzheimer's disease.
Hi,
welcome, Lori.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want to, before we get into talking about how you got started with your advocacy and your projects and all the things that you're doing for the Alzheimer's community, I wanted to first ask you what, if you can tell us in your words, what Alzheimer's is.
Well, Alzheimer's is really a disease of the brain. It destroys it kind of bit by bit versus natural memory loss with aging that just occurs. But the biggest difference, I guess you could say, is with Alzheimer's, you can't control it. You know, there's a few medications out there, but there is no cure for it. And with regular aging that takes place, you know, it'll create a change in oneself, but it won't be a loss of oneself. And with Alzheimer's disease, the person really feels a loss, and so do others around them, because they don't remember anymore. They just totally detach. They can't connect the dots as the disease progresses. And there's really no way to stop the disease. You know, you can slow it down once you're conscious of it, in terms of if you catch it early enough, hopefully through socialization and patterns that you build, and you know, going to the geriatric professionals and maybe getting on some medications. But once you have it, you have it. You know, it's not going away.
Lori, before we go on, you're kind of coming in and out. I thought when I heard the buzzing noise that that would be fine, but your voice is coming in and out.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay. Can I try to talk a little louder? Will that help if I talk at this at this rate? Is that better?
No, because it's breaking up.
It is. Okay.
It's breaking up.
Okay. Do you want me to call back on another line?
Yeah.
Okay. I will just run to another location in the house and call in on another line here, okay?
Okay.
So sorry. Thank you.
No problem. And while we're waiting on her to come back, I'm going to go to her website and kind of talk about some of the things that she's doing with the Alzheimer's Speaks and her company called Senior Living Trends. And let me try to pull up her website now. And her website is www.alzheimersspeaks.com. And she has a lot of information on the website. And sorry about the technical difficulty. She had to switch phones because she was coming in and out, and I'm going to have her go over again in case we lost some of the things that she was saying as far as what Alzheimer's is. But if you go to her website, it's alzheimersspeaks.com, and she has information. She has a blog. She has caregiver support, great reads, flicks and audios, and she also, as I mentioned, is a speaker and consultant. She also does training and certification, and she works with different businesses to help them. I think she's back on the line.
Yep, I'm Lori? Here. I'm here.
Much better.
Oh,
much
good,
better.
Good. So sorry about that. I don't know what the deal was, but.
Oh, no problem. Not a problem at all. And I was just going over your website while we was waiting for you to come back on the different things that your AlzheimerSpeaks.com has to offer. But I'm going to have you tell us again what Alzheimer's is in case some of that the information was they couldn't hear.
Sure. Alzheimer's is really a disease of the brain that just eats away at it, and we haven't found a cure for it. You know, there's kind of a slowdown process with it if it's diagnosed early enough, but it's kind of a crapshoot out there right now. They don't really know what's causing it. You know, the thing is people say, you know, eat right, exercise, keep socially active, you know, keep your mind active and things, but we don't know for sure if any of those things really help or not, to be honest. But it's critical for people, if they're starting to have some memory issues, to get in and get a diagnosis, because that's the only way we're going to find a cure for this disease. And it's, you know, anytime somebody has memory problems, they're all always right away fearful of it's Alzheimer's disease, especially for a person like me. I'm over 50 now, and my mom started having memory loss when she was in her mid-50s. And so it's just kind of a natural thing, and it's talked about so much, and we really have to remove the fear, and we have to go in and investigate it, because there are lots of things you can do, and it does not mean the end to your life. But the biggest difference is that Alzheimer's disease is a progressive disease that at this point cannot be stopped versus normal aging. Normal aging is where changes occur within a person, but they don't really lose the person. And with Alzheimer's disease, the person eventually gets lost.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of families are affected by it, and my family is affected on both sides. My grandmother, my father's mother, had Alzheimer's. She passed away a few years ago, but she passed away from pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom's mom, who helped raise me, she has Alzheimer's now. So it is affecting a lot of families, and it's a really it is hard, and that's what we're going to be talking about now. But before we get into that, I want to how did you get motivated into? Because we have a lot of different things that affect us as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And what motivated you to say this is something that I have to devote my time and my energy toward? You're, as I mentioned, you're a speaker, trainer, consultant, spokesperson, author, and business owner. And they're all geared toward Alzheimer's. So if you could share with us how you got motivated to be an advocate for the community.
Well, and, you know, to begin with, I used to be in real estate for 25 years, and I helped people through transitions. But my mom, you know, had memory problems starting in her mid-50s. She's now 82 and in her end stages. And what I saw through her disease and my dad with brain cancer was how people were so fearful of illness and aging and how they pulled back, friends of 60, 70 years sometimes, along with family, because they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, and they're just at a loss, and they start saying goodbye. They start burying this person way before they're dead.
Yeah.
Because it's easier for them to deal with it if they step back and don't have to see it. And I just thought, this isn't right. You know, the person's still here. And the one thing that anybody who is sick always says is that I just want things to be normal. And Alzheimer's is so not normal. I mean, because it's a crapshoot. One day they can react to something that you do this way, and then the next moment their reaction is going to be totally different. So you never know what you're walking into. And so it was, to me, I found all these fun techniques that really my mom taught me. I give her credit for it in terms of how to interact with her. And one of the biggest things was that as adults, we don't know how to play anymore. We take everything seriously, and we want to be in control. And this disease has told me, you know what, Laura, you're not all that, and you're not in control of this. And you better learn to deal with it, and you need to teach others how to as well. And once I grasped that concept, that there's a much larger power, you know, at play, which I've always known, but I've accepted now at a whole different level, I have so much more control of my life because I'm not trying to control it.
Yeah.
You know, because I've learned to be flexible. I've learned to not judge and just really accept, and I connect now on a level I didn't even know was possible. I mean, it's my relationship with my mom is such an intimate relationship, and we barely talk. You know,
I mean,
for 6 weeks, she wouldn't even respond really to my voice, wouldn't turn, give me eye contact or anything, and even my touch, it was like I didn't exist. And then I went in. About a week ago, when I saw her, she connected with me for like 15 minutes. And it's not like she's spitting out full sentences or anything at that point, but she's still in there. It's just you have to look for different signs, and you have to learn to be patient and not give up.
Yeah.
You know, and focus on the relationship. And, you know, my relationship with my mom, of course, is mother and daughter. And that's never going to go away. All of our relationships change and, you know, are fluid. And when someone is ill, there's no difference. It's still a fluid relationship. And, you know, but it's not healthy to control any relationship.
Yeah. And before we get into the, I want to talk more about your business and Alzheimer's Speaks and all the things that you're doing for the community. But what first I want to start with, as far as businesses go, how do you get them to, is one thing to get the family to, you know, change their perception so they can be there for their loved one. But how do you work with the businesses?
The businesses are a little tougher because, you know, especially right now, everything is so tight budget-wise, and everybody is, of course, you know, needs to be code compliant because they don't want the state and the county coming down on them and are trying to provide good service. But what I have found is that, you know, we need to take that code compliance and merge it with compassion. And so I do that through short training sessions. I do like half-hour back-to-back sessions for nursing homes, assisted livings. You know, any business can really use this because it's really all about relationships. And We do shift changes back to back, and then we can do a family council session so that we get the family on board, and then we can do the night shift all in one day. And I do them short so that staff aren't feeling overwhelmed and sitting in the room going, I got stuff to do. Elsewhere where they can really concentrate. And I use real stories because I've been there, I've done that. You know, I worked in healthcare for 10 years. I've been dealing with this disease for 30 years with my own mother. And, you know, I've just been able to see how things can be done differently and still get the job done. And I use a lot of humor. You know, with Alzheimer's disease, you're either going to laugh or cry a lot. And I would much rather laugh than cry. Because, again, that brings the joy and that gives me great memories. I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing at us, you know, and the situation.
Yeah.
So.
And I use that too when I talk to my grandmother. Sometimes it's easier one to go along with the flow of the conversation.
Oh yeah.
And you know sometimes you know she connects with me, but it may be different. You know the conversations are different, and like when we talk, sometimes she'll forget that I'm her granddaughter and may think I'm her daughter.
Yep. And does
or
that upset
like, you?
Know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it don't because I look at I mean it is hard to see her go from real strong to now very vulnerable and more dependent.
Mm-hmm.
But I've chosen that, you know, realize that one is not about me and two, you know, just enjoy her at whatever you know, she want to talk about or whatever, you know, and to laugh and just you know, because she thinks she's a comedian.
Yep.
so we use, you know, I try to keep the conversation basic. And,
well, I love the fact that you said that you know, it's not about you, because that's the biggest mistake most of us make is we focus on how we feel. And it's like, we're not the one that's sick. Hello?
Yeah.
We're the one battling.
What about what she needs? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I looked at what she needs. She needs, you know, I think it's hard for a lot of people because they like, well, she don't remember who I am. But just being in the moment, you know, and finding laughter and finding, you know, something to keep you connected. And,
One
so
of the
I wanted
things
to ask,
with the name thing is a really big issue for people, and you know that she doesn't know me or he doesn't know me, and I tell people, you know, embrace them like a child.
Yeah.
You know, because we wouldn't grill a small child going, do you know my name? Do you know my name? Do you know my name? Do you know my name?
Yeah.
Do you know my name?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do that. You would just play and have fun with them. And that's what we need to do with our loved ones that are aging. And we have to act like a child when we're with them in terms of a small child doesn't have the ego. They don't have the judgment. They just love and accept. They don't even see other deficiencies, you know, that us as adults see because that judgment hasn't developed. And so when I go see my mom now, I absolutely adore it because she is the one person I can go to that will never, ever judge me. Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not capable of it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a gift. I mean, that's just so cool, you know, and I would love to get like that, not necessarily having to get ill to do it, but to really just accept people in situations for what they are and not judge it.
Yeah.
Let it be and let them be who they are and where they are and just focus on building that conscious, what I call conscious awakening of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, getting to that deeper
level. And think beyond self and really be there for them because they, it's not, you know, I have to look at it and it makes it easier for me to look at it like this is, what does she need from me?
Exactly.
You know, what can I do for her? How can I make her, you know, and I don't talk to her as often as I used to because she does, her patience with being on the phone is very short now.
Mm-hmm.
used to can talk for hours, but now, you know, after a while, she's ready to get off the phone, and I'm in a different state.
Yeah, and some of
Georgia,
that has
she's in Indiana.
Some of that has to do with, you know, as the disease progresses, they need more multi-sensory interaction. So on the phone, they can't see you, they can't touch you, they can't look at
yeah.
your eyes. You know, they're talking to this thing in their hand, and after a while, they're not even going to know what this thing in their hand is.
Yeah.
You know, this phone. And so it's really important that we understand the more we can connect with them on levels that we just take for granted. You know, in everyday conversations are critical. I can share a quick story with you on exactly how that affects people to really point that out if you want me to. And if you want to
sure.
go on other stuff, we can do that too.
You
do you want me to share that?
Yes.
It's called The Cookie Crumbles. And we went to a picnic at my mom's nursing home. And I was running around taking pictures. And my daughter was interacting with my mom. And my mom and my daughter... My daughter at the time was 19, and they're like two peas in a pod. They've always been really close, and all of a sudden my daughter comes running over to me. Lips are quivering, eyes are filled with crocodile tears, and she's just like, Grandma hates me, Grandma hates me, and I could hear my mom screaming, I hate you, get away from me, I hate you, and it was just evil. My mom's beet red in the nursing home, and she's just livid. And I asked Danielle, my daughter, what happened? And she said, Grandma was eating a cookie, and she and a chunk fell on her chest. I just went to pick it up, Mom. That's all. That's all. I just went to pick it up. And so we stepped through the whole thing. And what happened was when my daughter went to pick up the cookie, the conversation had stopped. That's why she went in to reach in to grab the cookie. So they weren't talking anymore. She wasn't holding Grandma's hand anymore because she had to maneuver because she's in this big jury wheelchair. And she didn't have eye contact with her anymore because she was looking to pick up the cookie, not in Grandma's eyes. And then she touched her in what my mom perceived as an inappropriate spot as a stranger on her chest. And that's what made my mom blow. And, you know, I've seen it before when I was massaging my mom, you know, just putting lotion on her legs or arms. And, you know, you lose that contact. And in a millisecond, they can forget who you are. And so, like, if you go to a good masseuse, they always keep one hand on you no matter what they're doing so that that energy shift doesn't take place. You still have that connection. And so we really have to look at things at a deeper level, a more conscious level, when we're dealing with them because it's
yeah.
very easy to startle them.
Mm. Yeah.
Very, very easy. So
thank you for sharing. I like that. That's a good story, and I'm of course take from that and you know apply it to how I deal with my grandmother, and it's not just Alzheimer's. I think that it affects a lot of different disabilities.
Oh, definitely.
So thank you for sharing that, the cookie crumble story.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask, too, about, and we've already kind of touched on tips for caregivers or family members, but is there any advice you would give to the sons and daughters? Because it affects caregivers, but it affects the loved ones even more because, especially if it's the child, being the caregiver.
Because there's so many levels of loss, yeah.
Yeah.
Disease.
What is some tips, advice you would give them?
The biggest one I would give them, and the one that I have found absolutely the most helpful, and others have told me this as well, is what I call your memory chip. And they can actually go to the AlzheimerSpeaks.com website, click on the Starburst, and get that sent to them. And what it is, it's just a little card, and it can be printed out in an 8.5 by 11, or when I speak, I give them a little business card. But there's three words on there, what they need to focus on, because most of us as caregivers, professional or family and loved ones, we focus on our to-do lists. You know, I got to do the laundry, got to do the medications, they need a shower, you know, blah, 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 because when we focus on our to-do list, we feel like we're in control.
Yeah.
But if we can make a shift and focus on, are they safe, are they pain-free, and are they happy, it will totally, totally change the interaction that you have with your loved one or with whoever it is you're caring for, because the focus now becomes totally on them. If
yeah.
they call you the wrong name, it doesn't make any difference because they're safe, they're pain-free, and they're happy.
Yeah.
And it's all about having them feel comfortable with you, wanting them to want you around. That's what a relationship's
yeah.
about. And so you can get those tasks done in a different format. And, you know, the other thing is to really, when family's feeling overwhelmed, there's a journaling exercise that I have on the Alzheimer's Speaks blog, if they go to that, and that will help them identify what's getting them out of balance. And a real common example would be family, you know, somebody will say, well, I'll take care of medical. Another person will say, well, I'll take care of groceries. And another one says, you know, I'll take care of, housekeeping. And they all sound equal. But what you don't realize is the medical list doesn't stop. Because you
yeah.
have multiple doctor's appointments, multiple medications. You have to get the medications. You have to administer the medications. You have to communicate with all these doctors. You have to coordinate the transportation to the appointments. And, I mean, the list literally does not stop. Then you have to communicate all that stuff to the family. And the other person's going to the grocery store once a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so breaking down those tasks and saying, okay, what's putting me in overload and who can I call in to help? And maybe that's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's hiring
maybe it's
somebody
a church.
Else.
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Tap into your community and see what's out there. But people are so afraid of spending money or feeling the judgment of others that I will not be a good son or daughter if I don't do this all myself. And we've
yeah.
got to shift that in society. We've
yeah.
got to get rid of that judgment, you know, because
yeah.
it's killing our caregivers.
Yeah, and I think, too, the guilt of feeling overwhelmed and feeling there's a guilt that goes along with it.
Oh.
And they have to – it's two things, the overwhelmness and the feeling taking it personal, because they do get stubborn. I know my grandmother gets very stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're not going to change their mind.
And learning not to take it personal.
Yep.
Huh?
And you're not going to change their mind. That's
yeah.
the difference with Alzheimer's. They don't have the ability to process that thing and rationalize like we do as the disease progresses. And so it's about saying, okay, Grandma wants a pink Cadillac with spinners. She hasn't driven, but she's talking that she wants one. You know, again, is she safe? Is she pain-free? And, hey, she's happy. She's got a,
yeah.
you know... got a dream list going here, you know. It's okay, you know.
Yeah.
I don't need to focus negative energy trying to change her mind, saying that's not going to happen, because in her mind, it's still a possibility, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where
now
playing with them again helps.
Yeah, and just simply enjoying the moment. You
yeah.
know, I know it's easier said than done, but finding some type of way, you know, to get out the house or something to relieve the stress or the feeling of overwhelm. And like you said, the journal and the information that you offer, but also finding something outside of the house to do, whether it's walking every morning, something, you know, to kind of reboost yourself.
Yeah, it's real important. For me, I was, you know, like I got the good daughter syndrome and I could do it better than everyone else, and it hit me really hard and strong. And I had friends going, Lori, just come for a cup of coffee, just for half an hour, once a week. And no, there's no time. You know, I was
yeah.
taking care of my parents and working full time and volunteering, and I mean, the list didn't end. And one day I was just at my wit's end and I said, okay, I'll come. And that was a lifesaver for me, because
yeah.
I forgot that I need to get juiced. I need to get re-energized.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that half hour turned into 2 hours every week. And I thank God my friends didn't give up on me. And it was months that they, you know, I mean, it was probably closer to a year before I actually broke down and went. And then it
yeah.
was like, was that godsend or what?
Yeah. And I think for parents in general, there's a guilt of, you know, I have to take care of the kids. I have to do this. I have to, you know, constantly take care of everybody else, and a lot of times we forget about ourselves, and there's a guilt that goes along with it that, you know, is being selfish to take that time out, but is necessary.
It's very
It really
necessary.
Is necessary.
And it's something that we as a society do not teach. We do not teach self-care, and you can't, you know, you can't be in a relationship if you're not whole.
Yeah.
You know, and this is no different. This is a relationship. It can be very draining, depending on your approach and your attitude. But again, you have to, everybody has to get re-energized. I mean, we have to get our sleep. That re-energizes us. There's certain things that our body and our mind and our heart and our soul need, and we need to recognize those and not feel guilty that we want to be whole and we want to be healthy, because so many caregivers get ill, especially with couples. We'll see the caregiver actually pass before the person they're taking care of because they haven't taken care of themselves.
Yeah.
And then all the stress they're carrying causes illness and disease.
Yeah.
And that's not what, you know, that's not the game plan.
Yeah,
you know.
Me time is necessary, even if it's an hour or two a week or 20 minutes a day taking a hot, steamy bath or, you know, something to kind of give yourself that me time because it's needed.
Yeah.
I want to ask about, talk about your company, organization, Alzheimer's Speaks. How did, what is the mission for the company?
The mission is really to be collaborative and to get both patient, family, and companies working together to share resources in a non-judgmental way. What I found was, as much as I love all the organizations that are out there, is that they, you know, they're driven by guidelines. And there's a lot of small companies and one-man shows that have fantastic ideas, but aren't allowed to be a resource, you know, in some of these large websites, or because there's a fee that has to be paid and they can't afford it. And or it's a holistic approach, which might not have all the research-based stuff. And my attitude is, you know what, everybody needs different things at different times.
Yeah.
And we need a site that has a little bit of everything or a lot of everything, you know, for people to make their own decisions. And, you know, I've had other businesses say, well, aren't you worried, you know, you could get sued? You could get sued over anything at any time, but I will not let fear drive me of that. You know, it's up to the people to make a decision of what works good for them. So do they need a massage? You know, do they need a yoga class? Maybe a journaling class. Maybe they just need statistics. Maybe they need a support group. Maybe they need housing or legal or, I mean, the list is endless, you know.
Yeah.
And so the site is just constantly growing. And my goal for it is to be an international site. We have some businesses out of the country, but, you know, it's focused basically here in the U.S., but my goal is to be a full international site because there is so much to learn throughout the world from everybody. And in this day with the Internet, so much can be shared and accomplished if we work together. And so that's really my goal of the site. The Alzheimer's Speaks blog, I basically started writing on that was just to test a book that I want to write. And, you know, all my friends and family said, of course, it's wonderful, but, you know, is that just what they're telling me? So I wanted to get real opinions out there. And it's been, my writing has been received really well. So I know that I need to get this book out of me. I've got a couple of them in me. And again, it's just been about what I've been blessed enough to learn along the way. And my attitude is that every time, you know, there's something stressful or, you know, not normal, you know, put in front of me, there's a lesson to be learned. So I always pray, teach me the lesson so I can move, get through this and move forward, you know, and then spread my lesson to others. And that's kind of my philosophy with that.
Right. I love it. And you have another company called Senior Living Trends. Could you tell us a little bit about that too?
Yeah, Senior Lifestyle Trends is basically more my business aspect. The Alzheimer's Speaks, I don't charge anybody to be on that site. If I feel they're an appropriate site and have a service, and again, my parameters are pretty wide because I try to be non-judgmental on that, I don't charge them anything to be on there. So that's not a moneymaker for me. That's just kind of, you know, my baby of love that I'm throwing out to the world there. And then the Senior Lifestyle Trends is really my business company where I do speaking and training, and, you know, people can hire me as a consultant or a spokesperson, you know, whatever their needs are there in that angle. So that's really the two differences between the two. One's a labor of love, and one puts, you know, bread and butter on the table. but I absolutely love waking up every morning because I really feel this is why I was born.
Yeah, and I think that's very important that you know, whatever it is that we're called to do, that it stems from the passion. And I'm glad you corrected me. It's Senior Lifestyle Trends. I don't know why I kept calling it Senior Living Trends.
That's okay.
It's. I want to also ask before we go. You just mentioned about your book,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to not give it away,
mm-hmm.
but tell us a little bit about your book and when are you expecting to release it?
Well, good question, because it's changed a bit, and I'm still deciding on what it's going to be. Originally, I thought it was going to be all about Alzheimer's, and it was going to be called As the Cookie Crumbles, and it has lots of, again, stories and tips and things. But the goal of the book in and of itself is to get people to understand how to connect with the aging and the ill. So I'm not sure if I'm going to brand it under Alzheimer's or if I'm going to go larger under a caregiving umbrella, because so much of this overlaps with any stage of life. It doesn't
yeah.
have to be just in crisis. And that's one of the things I want to change in society and teach people, is that we are constantly changing and going through different things in life. And I don't care if it's, you know, going to school or getting a license or having a baby or getting married or a death or an illness. Those are all just normal things that we go through. And we really have to focus on how to interact with people and how we can keep things calm and connected, you know, in a loving, respectful fashion. So the book itself for the Alzheimer's portion, though, is really going to be teaching people to identify triggers, because so many times we are the trigger for their goofy behavior, you know, and we look at it and say, oh, what the heck? What are they
yeah,
doing now?
Yeah.
But many times they are picking up on our behaviors and our reactions. And we have to put that into the loop, or we have to learn how to deliver maybe a service differently that removes the fear for them. An example would be my mom used to love taking a shower, and then all of a sudden she hated it. Well, it took me a while, but I listened to a trainer by the name of Tipa Snow, and she said, well, as we age, we lose our fat pads. And I'm like, well, my mom's a big woman. She's like, nope, that's a different kind of fat. She said, we lose our protective fat pads. And she said, so the water pressure probably hurts your mom. And so, you know, then we went into the nursing home and changed and put in rain shower heads, which is a gentler water, you know, and we actually made some changes to the bathroom and turned them into more spas and a more calming, you know, with towel heaters and music playing and different types of lighting and different coloring. And so there's things that can be done, but we have to look at the rationale for what's causing the behavior, and we have to be open to it to try to offset it. And there's, I mean, I could go on with a zillion examples of things from very small little things to huge things, like with the cookie crumbles. If my daughter would have just probably held my mom's hand and talked to her while she grabbed the cookie, my mom probably
yeah.
wouldn't have exploded, because she still would have had that connection. So some of them are very, very simple things, because it's all about creating joy. The book will bottom line be about creating joyful relationships. And how do you do
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and I think that it does cross a lot of different lifestyles or a lot of different, even in parenting. I have a son with special needs, and that's something that will be beneficial for special needs parents as well.
Yep.
So, and I can see the connection even with how people pull away from those with special needs. And I think the common denominator is that there's fear.
There's fear.
There's a lot of fear for getting too close. There's fear, if I get too connected and I lose this person.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of different fear that's going on there that makes them pull away and makes family members not really want to go because you don't want to lose them. You don't want, you know, so I think that, but we have to remember that, you know, like you said earlier, that they're still here. And we still, and to live in a moment with them. And I think that it would hurt me more, and I can't speak for other people, but for me, it would hurt me more that if I pulled away.
Yeah, yeah.
And something happened versus me being there.
Yeah, at least you knew you did everything that you could, and you tried your best, and that's all that anybody can do. You know, I think there's a statement I say to people when I go out and speak on Alzheimer's, and I say, do you want to be the next to forget or the next to be forgotten? And that can go with any disease. Put yourself in their shoes. How do you want to be treated? It's going back to the golden rule, you know, of treat others how you would like to be treated yourself, and how we lost that as a society, I don't know. And it saddens me, but I know I have hope that we can get back to acceptance. Somebody had said one day, you know, if all the people who had Alzheimer's were out in the community, the fear would be removed because they couldn't run and hide from it.
Yeah.
But so many people are hidden away, you know, getting services and things that, you know, it's more scary because it's not out front.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's fear that, you know, of accepting that this, I don't know how to word it, but almost a fear of them seeing certain things within themselves.
Yep.
Or them accepting that, you know, not really accepting, but the idea that if this is my loved one, this can happen to me too. But to reverse that and say, wait a minute, this can be me too. How would I want people to treat me?
Exactly.
Like you just said.
Exactly.
What words of encouragement would you like to leave us with?
I would just say, you know, don't give up. Just love them, and don't lose your relationship over an illness. It's still there.
Yeah.
It will change, but everything changes. So just be who you are and embrace what you have before you, because once it's gone, it's not coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think change is one of the biggest things that most people fear.
Yep, exactly.
But thank you so, so much for being here and sharing your story and for all that you're doing for the community. But before you go, if you could leave our listeners with the websites where they can reach you.
Sure. It's www.alzheimerspeaks, and that's AlzheimerS, and then speaks, SPEAKS.com, or senior lifestyle trends, and trends is TRENDS.com, and they can just, you know, email me from there. There's phone numbers on the websites too. So,
well, thanks again. I think you're an amazing woman. I love everything, as I said, I love what you're doing. This not only affects a lot of families, it also affects me. And behalf of my grandmother and all those who are affected, I want to take this moment and say thank you so much for all you're doing for the Alzheimer's community.
Well, thank you. I think your program is wonderful, and you have a beautiful message that you get out there. So thanks for having me on, Yvonne. We'll talk to you later. Okay?
All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening. I don't wanna know.